And then next week, whatever you do, be good this weekend. I see.
Stay together. I want to hold you just one more time. When you turn and walk away, don't look back. I want to remember you just like this.
This is Angela Davis. You're listening to CKUT 90.3.
Angela, you're one of a million.
www.ckut.ca on the World Wide Web. News, interviews, and music featuring the voices of prisoners, their allies, and supporters. Tune into the Prison Radio Show on the fourth Friday of every month between 11 a.m. and noon, and every second Thursday of the month between 5 and 6 p.m. To get involved in Prison Radio, or if you need to access past programs, email prison@ckut.ca.
Rehabilitation.
I wonder if you know what the word means. Do you? It comes from the Latin root habilis. The definition is to invest again with dignity. You consider that part of your job, Harvey, to give a man back the dignity he once had? Your only interest is in how he behaves. You'll conform to our ideas of how you should behave.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Number, you weren't a man, you want to be a human. I wasn't Jim Crow, and hell, I was number 586.
Why do you do a warder's job?
It's a good job. Responsible job. Officers like myself trying to...
Scum.
We're only enforcing the law.
The law. When they hang my husband, is that just...
You're listening to the Prison Radio Show. My name is Yasmin, and I'll be your host for today. We would like to acknowledge that CKUT is located on the unceded Haudenosaunee, Anishinaabeg, Abenaki, and Mohawk territories. The Kanyagahaga Nation is recognized as the custodians of the lands and waters on which we gather today. Jajaki, Montreal is historically known as a gathering place for many First Nations. Today, it is home to a diverse population of Indigenous and other peoples. We respect the continued connections of the past, present, and future in our ongoing relationships with Indigenous and other peoples within the Montreal community.
We are all in the justice system for one reason or another, guilty or not. That doesn't make us any different from you. We should be allowed to have proper access to support they offer at the jail and treated fairly. There shouldn't be a reason why they can't do maintenance on our toilets, and clean the moldy showers. Some people are suffering from mental health issues they are not diagnosed with, and we keep asking for help, and we keep getting told that we are being annoying. Every day, the mental health nurses walk by, saying good morning, but never does anything for any of the inmates. We constantly ask to have an appointment with the psychiatrist, and nothing ever happens. We have asked other inmates, and they have the same response. No one is working with the mental health nurse, and no one went to see or talk to the mental health nurse. They're all on other living units. I'm back at general population now. They're in PTC, but this is happening throughout the whole Indigenous. All the Indigenous inmates are just receiving this treatment.
If you're just tuning in, that was an audio recording of an that was an audio statement from the prisoners of Block 8 in Kenora Jail that was released 2 days ago. They were indicating that they aren't receiving proper access to mental health care. People are suffering from mental health issues. We keep asking for help, and we keep getting told we are annoying. That's a prisoner who's wanting to remain anonymous for safety, but who was reading from a prepared statement. And the statement is on behalf of Block 8 at Kenora Jail. So today, we're asking anyone listening to follow up on these demands that Prison Project, through the Disability Justice Network of Ontario's project, is helping to amplify these voices from inside Block 8, who are asking that folks follow up with the superintendent of Kenora Jail and request that he, and his name is Kevin Holmquist, his number is 807-468-2871. There's these three demands. They'll be up on Prison Radio Show's Twitter, but here they are. Number one, attend Block 8 with a mental health nurse and help schedule any appointments the psychiatrist prisoners might need. Number two, attend Block 8 and ask them to show him what is wrong with the sinks, showers, toilets, and phones. And number three, allow prisoners access to the phones to call and report that complaints have been followed up on. Right now is a vulnerable moment for the prisoners of Block 8, because although they knew it was a risk to make a public demand, we know now, as of updates of today, that according to updates from yesterday as well, we know that prisoners in Block 8 were being kept on a lockdown for 22 hours a day. They were being kept in their cells and not being let out. And while there could be other reasons for it, it really seems like it's a reprisal for these demands being made by Block 8. And so we want to keep the pressure on the prison and Kevin Holmquist. Anyone inside who asks for mental health care should be granted that. That should not be denied. That is a right that folks are entitled to, and they should be able to access that. And we need to support those folks in Block 8 and Kenora Prison to fight against the racism and ableism that they're facing every day. On today's show, we speak with Trish from the Prison Project, from Disability Justice Network of Ontario's Prison Project. Trish is an anarchist, an abolitionist, a former prisoner, and is currently the co-lead on the Prison Project, coming from the Disability Justice Network of Ontario. It's focused on engaging and working with those who are racialized and disabled within prison walls, within jails and detention centers all across Ontario. Mainly, we're going to focus on the scope of the project, but what's timely about our conversation with Trish is we're going to be talking about the voices of those and the demands of those from Block 8, from the Kenora Jail. Our show today focuses on how prisoners in Kenora are organizing against racism and ableism in Ontario within the prison walls. And our conversation with Trish, who's the co-lead of the Prison Project, is going to talk to us about her organizing efforts with those in Block 8. Here's our conversation with Trish. Okay, today we have with us Trish, who's an anarchist abolitionist, who's been serving as the co-lead on the Prisoner Project with the Disability Justice Network of Ontario. And Trish has been doing a lot of work with prisoners in Kenora and helping them organize. And they've been organizing against racism and ableism. So Trish, thanks so much for coming on Prison Radio Show today. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what you do and a little bit about the Disability Justice Network of Ontario's Prison Project.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having me. The Disability Justice Network of Ontario's Prison Project is sort of a project that was formed in order to include the voices of people who are disabled in prison, as well as like people who are racialized and disabled in prison, in terms of like contributing their voices to the struggle against prisons, incarceration, and like institutionalization. So the project itself is meant to amplify the voices and experience of prisoners living at that intersection, as well as create a resource for people who are navigating the system in the future, as well as provide sort of concrete support through our prisoner phone lines.
And is there a place online where people can get more information about the prison project?
Yeah, for sure. Folks can either find us on the DJ Know website, so djknow.ca, or also on Instagram, which is the handle at DJNO Ontario, basically.
Awesome. And so just speaking of Ontario, I just wanted to understand the scope of the prison project for now. Is this dealing with all of Ontario, but perhaps looking to expand? Is that right?
Yeah, so we're currently talking to folks in any facility within Ontario, in particular people who are in detention centers or jails or prisons. But we're basically at a point in the project where we're looking at the future and how we can expand and in which ways and what's useful or not useful.
That sounds great. And can you tell me how the project got started, just like in terms of... you know, how did DJ Know decide to sponsor this project?
Yeah, so, I mean, first, we're a relatively new project as of August 2022. And basically, the Disability Justice Network has been having a lot of projects that center around, like, racism in schools, racism in the medical system, and folks found that that often led to homelessness or incarceration, that the institutionalization of people with disabilities or who are racialized was like higher, and sort of like this became a struggle against like the institutionalization of people with like mental health issues, in particular people who are racialized with mental health issues and disabilities. And then in that struggle and scope, basically the voices that we were missing were people who were like were currently incarcerated. So this project was meant to kind of like fill that gap and involve those like voices and individuals in the struggle against institutions and prisons. And yeah.
That sounds amazing. And how many different jails and detention centers has the project been in touch with since it started? So I know that it's been 9 months now, and I know today's show we're focusing on, we're going to get to the demands and the work that Trisha's been doing with folks in Block 8 in Kenora Jail. But just to get an idea of what's been sort of on the list so far, who have you been in touch with, or sort of which jails or detention centers has the project been working with so far?
Yeah, I think a lot of the facilities, I mean, there's dozens and dozens of facilities across Ontario, but I would say the ones that we've heard from most are in the Ottawa area, Kingston, some in Hamilton, and then many in Northern Ontario, which are primarily Indigenous communities.
That's great. And you had, I was wondering, you talked a bit about the, you know, that the project started in August, and you talked about what sort of has been going on in the project. I know that there's different sort of facets of it, so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the support lines versus the sort of research aspect, and just talk about perhaps what those are like.
Yeah, definitely. So of course I'd mentioned that one of our goals is creating a resource for folks who are racialized and disabled navigating the criminal system. So that is kind of being informed by some primary and secondary research. So our secondary research is just sort of like web scraping, looking at articles, looking at other people who've done interviews with media, people's experiences on blogs, things like that. And then we also have some like qualitative primary research that we're doing, where we've been able to get into some of those northern facilities in Ontario and actually have like really in-depth conversations with people who are currently prisoners. And then we have also sort of like done a call out to speak with folks who are currently in the prison, sort of like, or sorry, currently in the community on release, or have like served their sentences and were wanting to give us feedback as well. So that's what that part is informed by. And then we also have the advocacy component of our project, because, you know, data is great, but also like advocacy in action is even better. So in order to do that, we've also been providing direct prisoner support in terms of putting folks in touch with resources, even with family. And we've also been sort of like documenting facility conditions to replace the community advisory bulletins, which were disbanded by the Ford government, that would like track and hold accountable like prison conditions. And then have also sort of acted as a tool or an implement to help prisoners organize with each other inside the prisons and like create demands.
That all sounds really awesome. It sounds like great work that the Prison Project is doing and taking on and focusing specifically on racialized and disabled folks inside. It seems like it's something that's really needed and not really paid attention to enough, those intersectionalities and just how that can make the time inside even more harrowing and challenging. So that sounds amazing that that DiGeno is focused on this in terms of the Prison Project. And how is Prison Project structured? So I understand you're a co-lead. Can you talk a little bit about how it works in terms of the structure of the project?
Yeah, for sure. It's a pretty straightforward thing. There's actually just a couple of like paid part-time employees and then a bunch of us volunteers who run the phone line or do some other like research and different like managing and that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so are you looking for volunteers?
Sure. Our prison phone lines are like often looking for volunteers. Like people can like step in and out of that position, take breaks, things like that. But if anyone wanted to kind of get in touch, reach out and contribute, they could reach us at djnoprisonproject@gmail.com.
Great. So anyone that has some time to volunteer and wants to help out with prisoner support lines, please get in touch. Now I just wanted to switch gears a little bit or focus in on one of the gears that you talked about, which is some of the advocacy piece and focus on the reason why we're on this call today. And that's because I had received an email focused on the demands of prisoners in Kenora. Can you talk a little bit about what's been going on in the Kenora jail and the organizing there against racism and ableism and what that looks like?
Yeah, definitely. So our relationship with folks at Kenora Jail sort of started out of those like very in-depth qualitative interviews, and people gave us like a lot of positive feedback, and they continued calling on our support lines either just to like talk, to like access more resources, to access sureties. And through that time, we sort of like built an ongoing like relationship with them. We heard about their complaints, and a lot of them were overlapping and the same complaints. So at one point we also just like suggested, like, have you guys thought of, you know, instead of like individual advocacy or one person like bothering the system, like sort of creating a collective demand that people could then amplify outside prison walls and try to like create some accountability, try to create some demands. And from there, folks on Block 8 at Kenora Jail sort of like sat down, co-wrote a statement together and presented that to the public about 2.5 weeks ago now, and created those like sort of demands to like give out. And we're asking for people's help to amplify that.
That sounds great. And what are the demands? That's great work that Prison Project's doing, sort of amplifying the demands of those in Block 8 in the Kenora Jail. Can you talk a little bit about the different demands that those in Block 8 have and what they are?
Yeah, definitely. Most of the demands kind of like settle within two headings. One is a basic maintenance heading. So they have some demands around maintenance. They've been dealing with a lot of like black mold in their shower. They have a broken toilet that's leaking sewage. They have a broken sink. So those are sort of like some maintenance demands. And then the second demand, which is like potentially the one that they're most eager to fulfill, is around access to mental health care. So people have been having problems accessing or getting the mental health nurse to sort of like take their complaints seriously and put them in touch with the psychiatrist or medications and things like that.
Can you talk a little bit about the experiences they were having when they were asking for? From what I understand, they weren't being treated very well in terms of, you know, in the process of inquiring about what access they did have to mental health care. I did read a little bit about it. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically how the prison kind of like works in Kenora is like the mental health nurse would kind of like walk through the range in the mornings and see if anyone were like required access. And when people would kind of request access to psych care or something, they would often get told either by the mental health nurse that they didn't need psychiatric care, they didn't need this kind of thing, or if they were requesting it outside of that visit, like to COs or something, the COs would basically call them troublemakers and dismiss their concerns and not put them in touch with like psych or the mental health nurse or anything. So basically they were all collectively like asking for access to mental health supports and being denied and told that they were like just troublemakers.
And is that happened repeatedly with several different people inside in Block 8?
Yeah, that was sort of like various folks on Block 8 had the same, if not, or similar, if not the same stories around asking for help or asking for support and medication and being denied. And, you know, some of the reasons that, you know, the mental health nurse or the psychiatrist would use is just like, you didn't come into prison on medications. But when the reality is that, for example, one of the people like involved in this complaint, you know, has been in and out of prison much of their life. And when they, you know, they have had that like record, that medication on file, even with the Kenora facility, but they went off it when they left the facility last time because they were houseless. They couldn't access, you know, financial resources to like get the medications. And when they ended up back in prison, the prison said, well, you're not taking those medications, therefore you don't need them and we're not going to give them to you anymore. And so that's sort of like the barrier, or like one of the barriers that people are facing, is like if they go off of their medications for any particular reason between like jail visits, then the jail sort of like kicks them off those medications and makes them like try to reinitiate that process.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's very interesting, because I was going to ask you about that. That's, and of course, they're not going to have access to it when they're outside if they're unhoused. So that's another sort of systemic barrier then for them getting the proper care or continuance, like, or reinstated care that they need.
Yeah, and that's just like one example, really, because also like we know that prisons also disable people. So going to prison like creates a lot of depression, PTSD, like they bring up a lot of like mental health issues if someone gets thrown in segregation or something. So there's other people who've complained who've been like, you know, like I was fine outside of prison and I'm now not fine. And they're saying that because I was fine when I came in and didn't register any psychiatric complaints, that I can't access the psychiatric care. So it's just like
room for assessments. They're not doing any assessments of people.
Yeah, I mean, according to the ministry, they'll say that they can have access at any time, or they'll say that they can be assessed at any time. But basically what's happening when these people are asking for assessments is they're getting turned away or mocked or told that they're just like causing problems.
So. Wow, that's and when you say, I think the kernel of wisdom there and what you said was prison disables people.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's something to really just pause on and to sort of focus on for a second, because that's really important. And that's really important just on its own. And then when we're taking that in the context of, in addition to that, they're not getting the care they need to deal with that sort of disabling that does occur inside with the process of being imprisoned, right? That adds layers on top of what's happening. And then for those who already had pre-existing conditions coming back in and not being able to, you know, have the same access to medications and care that they had previously, I find from a medical perspective seems to be, it doesn't make any sense either. It's like,
yeah. I mean, it's just like a mess, right? Like we've also heard from other facilities that like, you know, someone will be very stable outside. They get like put in prison and the prison switches up their medication or stops their medication or starts over medicating them. And, you know, for various reasons, different facilities sort of have like different methods to address things, but we're not seeing any facility like provide any sort of like consistent mental health care or access to like psychiatry or therapy or supports that people need.
Right. Not in any of the places that you've been in touch with.
No, unfortunately not.
That's really, that really says a lot. That's really important that this project exists to be able to sort of bring all that information together. Because I find sometimes, you know, different sort of prison advocacy groups are, you know, for prisoner justice are doing things locally. And so it's interesting to have that aggregated perspective across Ontario wide perspective. And it just makes it even more egregious to see that this is happening all across the board. And so it's a systemic thing.
In Ontario, so the healthcare in Ontario prisons, or in most Ontario sort of like prisons or detention centers, it's not actually provided by Health Canada, which is where the rest of our healthcare is delivered. Like if you're outside of prison, it's delivered by the facility itself. So also they have every interest in either like minimizing what medical care you require. They have like every driving factor to like create sort of like this negligent situation.
Okay, so it's provided, each facility is providing its own care.
It's basically provided through the Ontario, like the prisons, but it's not like provided through the Ministry of Health. Instead, it's provided through like the Ministry of Attorney General. So it sort of like replicates almost like this private public healthcare tiered status. So basically if, you know, prisons are ignoring prisoner health or not, you know, underserving prisoner health, then they're also just like not losing money. So it almost makes it in their best interest to underserve prisoners in terms of healthcare.
Right. Oh gosh. Yeah. So it has all the trappings of more systemic barriers. And just to note, I know that in the demands, there was a statement that said Indigenous inmates in the facility are receiving treatment. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
That Indigenous inmates in that facility are receiving similar treatment. Yeah, so that's basically so first of all, Kenora is a very northern Ontario city. It's like the most northeastern major city in Ontario. Most of the prisoners held there are Indigenous. I think like a few years ago, people took a tour and literally 100% of the prison population there were Indigenous people. And they're brought in from sort of like communities all around to that area, flown in basically out of their communities in order to incarcerate them in Kenora. So I think right now it's sort of like a 90%, 10% or something is like my current understanding of that facility population breakdown. But people who were like providing the demands were basically like, this is like block 8, but it's also like Indigenous prisoners in Kenora jail as a total, you know?
Right. Okay. Thanks so much for explaining what the prisoner population in Kenora looks like, and that people are coming from all the surrounding sort of Indigenous communities, because it's located quite north in Ontario. I just wanted to bring to our listeners the phone number of the superintendent of the Kenora jail. His name is Kevin Holmquist, and he can be reached at 807-468-2871. And Prison Project, along with those in Block 8, are asking for people to call in and to request that he, and we'll put these up on our prison radio show on Twitter so that we can have these there so people can refer to them. But I think there's three things, like to attend Block 8 with a mental health nurse and to help schedule any appointments with a psychiatrist that prisoners might need. We're asking Kevin Holmquist to also attend Block 8 and ask them to show him what is wrong with the sink, showers, toilet, and phones. And the third thing is to allow prisoners to access the phones to call and report that complaints have been followed up on. From what I understand, there has been some action taken on the bathrooms. Could you tell us a little bit more about the maintenance issue and any updates on that?
Yeah, so we got a small update on Monday, just this past Monday. And we heard back from folks there who had basically said that the mold in the shower, that basically people had been in onto the block to give the shower area, bathroom area, deep clean. So presumably that resolved the mold. However, they didn't like fix the toilets, didn't fix the sinks. And I forgot to mention previously, their phones sort of like cut in and out a lot and make it hard to communicate. So they hadn't addressed any of that.
Great. Thank you so much. And so there is some stuff being done in the bathroom. Hopefully we'll get Hopefully they'll fix the issues that have been raised, but there's still those two other demands, dealing with phones and dealing with mental health care, which is the, sort of the primary goal, is to make sure that everyone there has access to the mental health care and that they need, which they're not currently getting. From what we understand is also folks might feel more comfortable emailing, although phone calls are better. And I did give Kevin's number a little while ago. I will share his email address. So it's kevin.holmquist, that's spelled HOLMQUIST at ontario.ca. And that's just to raise those three demands as well. So the maintenance of the bathrooms, fixing the phone lines or giving access to phone lines, so that they can, you know, give reports, and you know, give follow-up. They can report that complaints have been followed up on. And then the other, the main goal is to get the mental health issue taken care of so that people can have access to the mental health care that they need and that appointments can be scheduled and followed up on right away. And thank you so much, Trish, for just sort of diving into and explaining the sort of different issues that have come up with mental health. So Trish's highlighting here that some folks may not have continued on their medication, and that shouldn't be a barrier to not having their medication reinstated. So these are all the things that we could talk about with Kevin Holmquist when we call him and make those demands, or when we send in an email. And like I said, we'll put this up on our Twitter, our Prison Radio Show Twitter, so that we can hopefully generate more calls and get more attention to this issue. Are there other issues or any particular stories that you wanted to share with us just from those on Block 8, perhaps with the spokesperson? I know that there was a spokesperson that was elected or chosen amongst those that does that did the audio message that we feature in the show as well.
Yeah, I mean, that I had shared a bit of his story earlier in terms of like wanting access to psych, but having like been off meds between his incarcerations. I think the like, you know, of the folks that we've talked to at Kenora on Block 8 and otherwise, I think it's just like important to note that these are human beings, you know, these are human beings. They have tried, they understand that in some respects they've failed, but they, you know, they all really deserve to be treated as people. You know, they deserve this like access to like basic care, as we all do.
Thanks so much for that. And looking to the future, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to do to connect with Prison Project? Or is there anything else you wanted to tell us about something upcoming or how we can keep the pressure on Kevin Holmquist and others in Kenora Jail to ensure that this is happening? Is there anything you wanted to share?
Yeah, I mean, just like, again, underlining the importance of like calling. We understand that like some people have gotten through to Kevin, who's like kind of denying that there's a problem, but just like encouraging him to personally walk through and speak with the people on Block 8. And that way we would like hear back when the issues are addressed. That's why there's that specific demand of his walkthrough as an individual. Sharing the project information with people who are incarcerated or who, you know, who are incarcerated. So we have a list of phone numbers sort of like on our project sites. Those are free for prisoners to call. We accept collect calls. We definitely encourage people to like report facility conditions, share their stories if they want, get in touch if they're like prisons or blocks want to organize. And just also just, you know, in terms of like local engagement things, you're welcome to reach out to us to volunteer with the project, but also there's lots of like local projects that people can plug into. Prisoners Justice Day is coming up in August, you know, putting some like effort into making that like in particularly meaningful is always appreciated by people.
Great. Thank you so much. This has been really awesome to have you on, and I'm so glad that we were able to amplify even more, like take what you're doing and amplify here this on our radio dial and on our podcast to talk about what's going on inside Ontario prisons and what racialized and disabled prisoners are facing inside, and the lack of mental health care and the lack of attention and just the dismissiveness that they've been treated with is unacceptable and must stop. And we want to thank you so much for coming on the show. we hope to have you back on to talk about other instances and potentially amplify the voices of others that are struggling in Ontario prisons from racism and ableism. So we want to just, again, kudos to Prison Project and to DJ No for doing this important work. And to those in Block 8, we hear you loud and clear, and we're going to keep amplifying your voice and keep bugging Kevin Holmquist until something's done about this. So he'll be receiving weekly calls from us, or potentially daily from some of us, to make sure this gets dealt with. But thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
If you're just tuning in, we've been talking today with Trish from the Disability Justice Network of Ontario's Prison Project. She's a co-lead of the project. She's an anarchist, an abolitionist, a former prisoner, and deeply, deeply cares about those inside Ontario's prisons, jails, and detention centers who are challenged and faced with racism and ableism inside. And in our interview that we just aired, we talk about how prison can be disabling. And on top of that, there's the intersectionality of race as well. We focused on the demands of largely Indigenous prisoners in a Northern Ontario prison in Kenora prison and the prisoners of Block 8. And we aired an audio message earlier on in the show that was with the voices of those from Block 8, of the spokesperson from Block 8, raising demands around a denial of access to mental health care that's been critical, that they've been requesting over and over again and being told things like they're annoying, with a lack of maintenance of their bathroom facilities, and one of them that smells like sewage and there may be a leak, and as well with issues with the phone lines and being able to have dependable, reliable phone lines so that they can follow up with us to let us know if these demands are being met. As far as we know, there could have been a reprisal. It seems like the lockdown that they've been put under after these demands were released to the public have been a reprisal. So please do get in touch with Kevin Holmquist. We gave his number out earlier in the broadcast, and I'm just going to repeat it. Kevin Holmquist is the prisoner, is the one in charge of the Kenora prison. We need to get in touch and make those demands public. We're going to put this on Prison Radio's Twitter, but his email is kevin.holmquist. It's spelled HOLMQUIST at ontario.ca, and his phone number is 807-468-2871, and we need people to give him a call. He's a superintendent. He needs to know about this, and people need to give him a call to voice the demands that everyone in Block 8 is entitled to have access to mental health care, maintenance of their bathrooms, and reliable phone lines. We'd like to remind everyone as well what Prison Project has been reminding us is that access to mental health care in prison is no joke. According to the Tracking Injustice Project, deaths in Ontario prisons have doubled in the last year alone, many of which have been tied to mental health and addictions. The voices and experiences of people who are racialized and disabled while incarcerated are some of the most silenced and ignored voices in the disability justice movement. And you can change that by putting pressure on Kevin Holmquist, the superintendent of the prison, and by getting in touch with provincial members of parliament for Kenora. So we are believing the prisoners of Block 8, and until we hear from them that their concerns have been addressed, we're going to keep putting the pressure on. We know that until now there's been a denial to mental health care, and there's been a denial by Kevin Holmquist that there's been an issue. So again, we want to center the voices of those inside that are dealing with racism, ableism, and are having a really challenging time, and voice those concerns that they need access to mental health care, they need maintenance of their bathrooms, and they need reliable phone lines. Thank you so much for tuning in. You've been listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT.ca 90.3 FM. The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT FM, CKUT.ca. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we'd like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us collect from Bordeaux Prison and Rivière des Prairies Prison by calling 514-876-3748. That's again 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. I repeat, 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside. You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and online at www.ckut.ca. And you can check out past episodes of the Prison Radio Show at prisonradioshow.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Prison Radio Show. And it's Prison Radio Show is also a podcast, so you may be listening to this as a podcast and not on the dial. If so, please check out our episodes of the PRS podcast on Libsyn or anywhere that you get your podcasts. The Prison Radio Show airs twice a month on CKUT, and we're on the air on the second Thursday. And second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m., like today, and the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. And the next Prison Radio Show will air on Friday, April 28th at 11 a.m. If you have any questions about anything at all that you've heard on today's show, or if you wish to be involved with the show, feel free to contact us at prison@ckut.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. Folks can also leave a message on our new listener comment line. And again, the number is 438-337-8423. And if you're in prison, we encourage you to participate in the show in any way possible. Feel free to write to us at the Prison Radio Show or simply write PRS, care of CKUT, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, H3A2B3. Thank you so much for tuning into the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Yasmin, and I've been your host for today. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
much resistance.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
Join us for the Montreal book launch of We Go Where They Go, the story of anti-racist action, on Saturday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. at Comité Social Centre Sud, 1710 Beaudry Street. Speakers will include three of the co-authors, a former ARA member who was active in Minneapolis, Detroit, and Chicago, the former coordinator of Montreal and McGill ARA, and a former member of Edmonton Anti-Fascist League. There will be cheap and delicious food served by Food Against Fascism and Saw Tavern beer on tap. We Go Where They Go recounts the thrilling story of a massive forgotten youth movement that set the stage for today's anti-fascist organizing in North America. At ARA's height in the 1990s, thousands of dedicated activists in hundreds of chapters joined the fights, political and sometimes physical, against Nazis, the Ku Klux Klan, anti-abortion fundamentalists, and racist police. Based on extensive interviews with dozens of ARA participants, We Go Where They Go tells ARA's story from within, giving voice to those who risk their safety in their own defense and in solidarity with others. Mark your calendar for what promises to be a fascinating evening of anti-fascist history and discussion.
Thanks to everyone who donated to CKUT's annual funding drive. Your generosity truly helps keep our engines burning. It's never too late to donate. You can do so by calling 514-907-9424 or going to ckut.ca and hit the green Make a Pledge button at the top. All paid entries will be entered into a grand prize draw. You can pay your pledge and pick up your gift weekdays between 11 to 6 p.m. or by appointments. Call 514-907-9424. Thank you.
Not what I got.
Join Cinema Politica for a winter screening series. Every Monday evening, 7 o'clock, in H110 at Concordia's Hall Building. Our winter 2023 program responds to the conservative rejection of society's ability to thrive, grow, and develop. Instead, we show the voices of those within social movements confronting ableism, systemic racism, heteropatriarchy, and many other intersectional struggles. We invite you to join us every Monday at 7 p.m. throughout the winter and spring at Concordia University in the Hall Building, 1455 de Maisonneuve West, room H110. More info, cinemapolitica.org. This screening series is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca. Good evening. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio. From drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal. The island also known as Jojage in the Ganyagaha language and Munayang in Anishinaabemowin, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah De A, live in studio at CKUT on Thursday, April the 13th. It's a beautiful sunny day. Feels like summer has finally arrived. We actually broke a record heat-wise. It is currently 28 degrees here in the CKUT broadcasting area, and it's going to be even warmer, not even warmer, a little bit less warm for the next couple of days. So we have lots to look forward to, but the theater does await. I will tell you about things that you can do this weekend. You might even need air. I'm starting to think that I might even need air conditioning, actually, so I'm headed to the Centaur later on. On tonight's show, lots of great conversations. We are going to start off with the good folks at Contact Theater. They're putting a satirical spin on the infamous cannabis propaganda film Reefer Madness. The co-founders are in studio along with one of the actors. They'll be at Mainline Theater later this month. Show opens on 4/20. We'll get to that in just a moment. But also Joshua Harmon, yeah, the guy behind Bad Jews, a terrific play at the Siegel Center. They are going